We'll take out your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're getting towards the end of this letter that he wrote to this church. It started back in Acts chapter 19. First half of the letter is about the why, and the second half is about the practical. And so we're getting to the practical. So what? If you appreciate the blessings of Christ, if you appreciate what you once were and what he's now made you into, he's raised you from death to life, and he has made you a part of his family, you have an inheritance, that should move you to no longer live the way you once lived. It should move you to want to be children of light. And it should reflect in our homes the way a husband treats his wife, the way a wife treats her husband, the way we appreciate the church that Jesus designed. And here we get into chapter 6 about parents and children. Read along with me in Ephesians 6 verse 1. Says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So think about this for a moment. Let me first say to parents, I know children's mentioned first, and, but first let me say this. This is something that's been on my mind and thinking about this quite a bit. Having had a part and been a member of churches that don't have as many children as we are blessed with here, I just want to say it is a blessing to see all these young kids here. I love it. And if you're a parent and you're sometimes just trying to pay attention, and you find it maybe is a little bit of a challenge that you're trying to say, okay, I'm trying to pay attention to what this lesson is, and then there's a lot of interruptions here and things you have to tend to and things you have to do, and sometimes you have to take them out and bring them back in. I just want to encourage you, keep on doing that. If you've ever had one of these services where because you were spending so much time doing that and you feel like you missed a chunk of what was said, and you wonder, well, why do I bring them? I want you to think about something here, is that you're setting an example for your kids that is long-lasting, and they see, they will see what you're modeling. I want you to turn over to Matthew briefly. Hold your place there. Go to Matthew chapter 21 and just look at this illustration, and I think this is one of the finest examples to show how children are watching you. They watch what you do. They watch what you say. And that could be a good thing. And in this case, in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is in his triumphal entry going into Jerusalem. And notice what the multitudes are saying. In verse 9, Matthew 21, 9, "And the multitudes that went before them and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Later, what you see is some of the chief priests in verse 15. "When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased." So here's the thing. I don't know if you ever thought about it this way. Where did the children learn to repeat that phrase, Hosanna to the Son of David? You might even wonder, did they even understand what that meant yet? Maybe not. But they were learning it and repeating it. They heard it somewhere. And I know this is true because sometimes someone will say amen at the end of a prayer and then one of the kids will repeat that. They're listening. They see you. They see your zeal in how you sing. They see whether you're turning along in their pages. They see that you're here. They see all of those things. And so I just want to encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing and encourage. I want to encourage both of you, husband and wife, to be present. That is one of the best examples, and those are sermons that you preach that I can't preach. It doesn't matter how many other sermons are there, if you don't bring them here and they don't get the opportunity to see it, they don't get to hear it, they're not going to be able to repeat that. And then also I want you to see that there were some who didn't like that. You see that in this example. For whatever reason, I don't know why, these chief priests had this problem. They wanted to tell Jesus, you need to tell them to be quiet. Tell them to stop saying that. And Jesus says, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? This is one of those cases where sometimes people wanted Jesus to correct a behavior that didn't need to be corrected. That happens a lot in Scripture, where someone would say to Jesus, correct them. No, I'm not going to do that here. The one criticizing the children's repeating of what the parents said was, the ones criticizing were the ones that needed the correction in this particular case. Sometimes it's the parents that need more correction than the kids, and this is one of those. But the parents who were saying, Hosanna the son of David, they left a good example. Now, Hosanna, by the way, maybe some parents wondering, what does that mean? Hosanna means save us, we pray. Now imagine this, the parents are saying, Lord, please save us. And even if the kids didn't fully comprehend all of what that meant, they're repeating it. They would have remembered it later at some point if they didn't, depending on their age. Or maybe they had a discussion on the way home where the parents are teaching them, this is what this meant. And when your kids ask you these kinds of questions, what does Hosanna mean? What does this mean? What does that mean? Those are great opportunities to take the time to explain to your children. Make sure you're making the time, because these are times where are of utmost importance. Now back to Ephesians chapter 6. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is something that has to constantly be taught. This is not one of those things where you can say, you know what? I told them that once. This is an everyday thing. You've got to teach them over and over. And it's not something you just say. It's something that you are consistent in teaching. Children need to be reminded. And those of you who are young, let me just tell you, one of the best ways that you can honor God is when your parents tell you to do something, don't make them tell you many times. Obey them the first time. And don't wait till they have to say it with a harsher voice. Do what they say and do it the first time. That's a good thing to learn. And you learn that when you're young. You learn that very early. But parents need to teach that and be consistent with that. So obey your parents in the Lord. He says, for this is right. It's right. God is happy when he sees you. How are you going to learn to obey God, little children? How are you going to learn to obey God if you don't first learn how to obey your parents? Now, we can't see God with our physical eyes, but you can see your parents that are right there. You're learning how to respect authority by obeying your parents. So I just want to encourage you, young children, to listen to your mom and dad. And respect them. Don't roll your eyes. Don't say something back. You know, there's a proverb that says, the eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. And you should think about that description. Imagine an eagle coming down and plucking out your eye, and then another bird come along and eating it. That's, That is a very scary image, isn't it? But what is he saying? Well, that's what it's like when you mock, when you sass off to your parents. Don't do that. Don't backtalk. Don't disrespect your parents. Listen to your parents. Obey your parents. It's right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This doesn't just apply to little children in the home. Now, I get that there is an authority that differs whenever you're grown. But even after you're grown and out of the house, there's an honor. Because Jesus spoke to adults whenever he was correcting them because they had passed off this command to honor your mother and father. Jesus said to some who were making some loophole that if you gave to the temple, you didn't have to help out your parents and honor your parents whenever that's called upon. And Jesus says, you have disobeyed God, dishonored God, to keep your own tradition. So remember that you need to obey God in this. God cares about you honoring your father and your mother. Now, everybody doesn't have a godly mother and father. And if you happen to be in that situation, this could be very challenging. Now, he's not saying to do what your parents say if your parents are telling you to do something wrong. You need to obey God first. But you still need to respect your parents. You still need to honor your mother and your father. And that's very important. It's the first commandment with promise. Now, what's the promise? The promise is that you'll live long on the earth. What's the opposite? If you don't honor your mother and your father, what's going to happen to you? Well, you're probably going to do things that are not as safe. You're probably going to do things that might endanger your life. So it's a very practical principle to honor your mother and father. You'll be blessed with a longer life. You don't honor your mother and father, you're going to shorten your life by doing very foolish things that your parents were trying to prevent. So honor your mother and father. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So there he spells out what the promise is. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, on to fathers and mothers. Verse 4 says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. There might be a reason here why he doesn't say immediately parents. But he is immediately addressing fathers here. That shows me that while, yes, it's a responsibility of both mother and father to raise their children and nurture them, there is a primary role here that rests on the father's shoulders. Some fathers maybe might be tempted to leave this to the mother. Maybe expect the mother to do the teaching and the mother to do the discipline and the mother to spend the time with the children that are necessary. I can tell you, I am sure law enforcement people could tell you that there is a correlation between absent fathers and what happens with those children as they grow up. It's not a good thing. Fathers need to be present. Fathers need to have an active role in their children. It is a man's responsibility to make sure he is leading his household in the way of godliness. Now, what's a mother to do if she doesn't have that? Well, 1 Peter 3 is a good guide to be a good example as best as you can. Don't nag your husband, but be a good example in those cases. But wouldn't it be more ideal if both mother and both father were together on the same page as a team? raising their children, nurturing them together. This is far more effective to see mother and father working together. Not a mother who kind of hides what the children do while the father's not looking. And the kids say, "Don't tell dad." And then she kind of does things that he wouldn't approve of. You don't need that kind of sort of thing. You need both mother and father working together. But the father should be setting the tone here by his example. Parents, fathers, does your children see you read your Bible? Does your children see you pray? Do you stop and pray? Do you lead your family in prayer? Do you take moments that when things are challenging and difficult, do you stop and use it as a teaching moment to say, what would God think about this? And get a discussion going with your children. Deuteronomy 6 is a great example of this sort of thing when he says to talk about it to your children when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. That tells me it's not just like a once in a while thing. It's something you do all the time. Take the time, all the time, to talk to your kids. Have discussions with your kids. Bring them in the nurture and admonition. You don't nurture someone in one day. You don't get physical nourishment of food by eating one meal. It is multiple meals consistently every day. That's how you take in the nourishment that you need. Well, spiritually, it takes a lot of discussion, patience, listening, hearing what they're saying, addressing their concerns, being the kind of person that they can talk to, giving them a chance to speak to you and to tell you and address their concerns. Now, I recognize, having 5 kids, every kid is different. Some might tend to go to the mother for whatever reason, feel more comfortable talking to them about certain things. Some may feel like going to the father, but sometimes that could be hurtful to one or the other over different periods of time. I get that. But maybe perhaps we should ask ourselves, is there a reason why my son or daughter is maybe not comfortable talking to me? It might be just the makeup of different children, different parents. But it might be that the parent is doing something wrong. And if that tends to be us, we need to be real with ourselves and accept the responsibility that maybe I need to change something here in order to listen to my children so that they feel like they can come and they can talk to me. He says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." I believe that there is a reason that there is a tendency sometimes for fathers to provoke their children to wrath. There's a lot of ways that we can do this. Sometimes fathers can be a little overly harsh, and in that way be inconsistent and cause the children to be provoked to wrath. And so we got to guard against that. One way that you can provoke a child to wrath is you're saying one thing and you're doing another. That's a surefire way to get the wrong reaction. Children are pretty good at judging the hypocrisy in their parents. They can tell. If some parents sometimes have raised children, maybe they did go to church. Maybe they did have discussions. Then their children are grown and now there's heartbreak and they wonder why. And there's all kinds of reasons why these kinds of things happen. And it's not always the parents' fault. But sometimes, in some cases, there are reasons that maybe one reason potentially might be that the parent was putting on a front in front of everybody else. They were one thing whenever they were coming and worshiping, and they were an entirely different person at home. Let's make sure that we're the same and that we're genuine. Make sure that we're not just playing church here, okay? This is not an act This is not something that you just do as a to-do list. Make sure your children, when they look at you, they see a father who absolutely adores the Father in heaven. If you love your Father in heaven and your children see that, that will have a much greater impression upon your children and how that you expect them to treat their father. Be consistent. Be the example. Love your Father in heaven. Let them know that. Let them see that by your actions. Don't provoke your children to wrath by encouraging misbehavior. Sometimes fathers can just give some bad advice. Sometimes there's an inconsistent thing, maybe accidentally sometimes. Whatever you're doing, if phone rings and you tell your child, tell them I'm not here. What are you telling your children? You're teaching them to lie. You just did it. If your children see you bend rules and they see how you treat somebody, or you say one thing to people and then on the way home you're complaining about church members on the way home, you might provoke your child to wrath accidentally because you're teaching your child to gossip and you're teaching your child to be disgruntled against your brethren. And so no wonder they might wake up one day and be dissatisfied with the whole idea of coming to worship, because this is what they saw modeled before them. Children will do what you do more than they will do what you say. And so it's very important that we're just being genuine. And don't be afraid to apologize to your children. Don't be afraid to tell them whenever you have messed up. Sometimes, just as an example, I remember my daughter telling me, Daddy, you shouldn't have said that. Wow, well, that went straight to my heart. And I knew she was right. And in that moment, now I got a choice. Do I maintain? No, I'm dad. I got to be right all the time. I'm always right. I'm right, you're wrong. Well, that's going to provoke them to wrath if they never see me willing to budge. And I'm just going to hold that ground even whenever I know I'm wrong. They know I'm wrong. I'm not fooling anybody. On the flip side, there are times where a father needs to lead. Now, one of my kids used to joke and say, whenever I would say, do this, and he didn't like what I was saying, he might say, provoke not your children to wrath. He's saying it kind of tongue-in-cheek. I would respond by saying, as one wise man said, I don't think that means what you think it means. So, you got to be balanced here on that. So, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Instead of doing that, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That tells me that the opposite, not bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's going to provoke your children to wrath. Because what standard do they have if you're not nurturing them and teaching them? Whenever they have things that they pick up from other kids, and they will pick up things from other kids, even if they're homeschooled, whether they go to public school or whether they are homeschooled, there is an influence of the world among us either way. I remember whenever we decided we were going to homeschool our kids, not because we thought that was the only way to do it, and not because that we were judgmental towards others who didn't choose that path, but I remembered thinking, this is going to help keep a lot of the world out of the home. And what I found was, is the world wants to enter in regardless. There's always going to be all these influences. They get this influence through the TV. They get it through social media. They get it through their friends. They get it sometimes from other children that they're hanging around. And so there has to be a realization here about influence. you've got to nurture them. You have to teach them. You have to take that time. If you don't raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they're going to be taught everything else. And it's sometimes it's as if there's more getting thrown at them everywhere else, and it's hard to keep up with all the things and ideas that they learn and they pick up and phrases that they pick up. So it's very important when you hear a child repeat something that becomes in vogue, ask your child, what would the Bible say about that? What does the Bible teach us? Does the Bible teach us to use phrases like that? Does the Bible teach us to think like that? What would God say about that? Whenever there are questions that they have, that should always be the standard. What would God want us to do here? And these are just some things that I wanted to encourage you about in trying to encourage children and encourage parents to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's a lot of nurture here, and you can't learn it all overnight. And what happens is you need to have some time whenever you're teaching them. And on that, if you only allow your children to be taught when they come here, they're not getting enough. This is not enough. You think coming here on a Sunday or coming on, even if you come all the services, that's not enough. And then if you think that, if you hold the church responsible for the lack of teaching, you need to understand that's your responsibility. Yes, we as a church are going to try to do as good as a job as we can, but the church cannot hold the full responsibility of making sure that the children learn all that they need to learn. That should fall on us as parents. Now, having said all that, I do need to make a caveat. None of this should be construed as a man trying to say that I have this all figured out. None of this should be construed as coming from someone who has always done this perfectly. I can look back and I can see a lot of things that I did that I should have made some changes here. I should have done this better. I think we're always going to do that. What I can say is I did the best I knew at the time. I was trying the best I knew how to do at the time. And all I can do is ask the Lord to forgive me for where I fell short, ask for His grace where I fell short, and ask my kids to forgive me where I've fallen short. But at the end of the day, may the Lord give us wisdom, and may He help us be the best parents we can be, and may you as children love your parents. If your parents are here tonight and they're here all the time and they're trying and they're teaching you, you need to realize how blessed you are, because everybody else does not always have that. And if you are an adult and realize, I wish I would have had that, well, you can start now. That's the beauty of the way the gospel works. The gospel can help people who have made mistakes in the past to begin today to make what is right. And so I want to encourage you, why not start tonight, that if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, and you believe that He died for your sins, and you're willing to let His blood cover your sins so that you can be forgiven, and that you want His help to be able to be a good father, because you want to see your Father in heaven, then you can make a confession. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can be baptized tonight if you haven't. What an example. I remember when my dad was baptized. Can I tell you just what an effect that has had on me? I've mentioned this before, but I got to keep saying it. I saw what my dad was, and I saw what he was after he was baptized. And I am telling you, that made me a believer in this book. And it made me a believer in these people who follow the book. Because I got to witness some good things
and some bad things among people who call themselves God's people. But I tell you what I learned through all of this process is I saw that God's way works. And I believe in it wholeheartedly. And I want to encourage you that if you haven't yet done that, think first. I'm not saying doing it only for your kids. I'm not trying to make that exactly like that. But I would like for you to think about the example that you had before your kids. And I would like for you to think about the ramifications of the life that you live and what that means and how. I am standing here today as a believer in the gospel because I saw my mom and my dad change. And I wish I could convey what I'm feeling in my heart about that because, and I wish you could see that and see what's happening with your kids potentially that you might obey the gospel tonight. We stand ready to help you. We could baptize you into Christ. Whatever you've done in the past can be forgiven, and you can start this life with Him. And we're standing ready to help you if you're willing to come while we stand and as we sing.